Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, October 8th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 51, paragraph 2, which begins, "We asked ourselves and airplane travel was in full swing." We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Mary P. for the 12 Steps, Lillian Lilan P. from Germany, for the 12 Traditions, Luann C. will read and comment on our text, Alex K., page 164, and Sherry Z. is here for backup. Diane B. will greet our newcomers, and then Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, so you can listen to the recording, is 21807. That's 21807. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21810. That's 21810. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. Now, Lilan P., please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Lilan, recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 51, paragraph 2. And I will now ask Luann C. to please read that for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho, just for today. I'm very grateful. We asked ourselves this: are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Even in the present century, American newspapers were afraid to print an account of the Wright brothers' first successful flight at Kitty Hawk. Had not all efforts at flight failed before? Did not Professor Langley's flying machine go to the bottom of the Potomac River? Was it not true that the best mathematical minds had proved man could never fly? Had not people said God had reserved this privilege to the birds? Only 30 years later, the conquest of the air was almost an old story, and airplane travel was in full swing. So, in the previous paragraph, it was talking of all the ancients, like Columbus and Galileo, whose minds were, the people's minds were bound by superstition and tradition, and yet people like Galileo and Columbus with open minds were able to prove facts beyond human conceptions of that time, like around Earth and the sun as the center of the universe. And then in this paragraph, it talks on quote-unquote modern times, people could not conceive of flying and look to the failures as concrete proof. And yet these explorers didn't give up and opened our consciousness to the now facts of something that humans couldn't previously conceive. And then in the first sentence, it talks about the spirituality. And, spiritually, I kept looking at the failures of religion and religious leaders as proof that there was no God, and certainly not one who could empower me to feed myself or lose weight. And yet I could not deny I was seeing people work this program and come out free from the shackles of this disease. And that fact of my experience opened my mind to the possibility that this thing just might work. And now, you know, I'm cooperating with a power I couldn't previously conceive of. And my mind and heart and body are being healed on a daily basis. So I'm really grateful today for all the brave people who took the leap of faith, you know, not just Bill, but, you know, my sponsor and my Ebby and the people in the fellowship, because my recovery stands on their shoulders. And if you're a newcomer, I hope you hear something today that makes you want to come back, because there is a solution here and you deserve recovery. So that's all I've got. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Luann. Really appreciate that. Okay, though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience also. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute. Give me your name. Let me know where you're calling from.
Deb E. in Israel.
I heard Deb E. in Israel, and then someone else came in with her.
It was Lynn.
Lynn.
And yes, first
Lynn
name
D.
your last
California.
Name? Okay, Lynn
D. is in David, California.
Great.
Thank you.
That's that. Anybody else? Want to share on page 51, paragraph 2? Okie doke. Well, Deb E., please share with us and from Israel, and then Lindy from California will share.
Thank you. Sorry, I had to wait for the unmute again. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel, and oh, what a great topic for today, because I was just thinking, as I was dialing the number, I've heard recently that there were some technical difficulties getting onto the meeting, and I haven't had technical difficulties. I've had scheduling difficulties, so I haven't been on in a little while. And I do this with my higher power, and it doesn't always work. And the only time it doesn't work is when I don't fully believe. And that's why I'm happy that the topic is, you know, taking that leap of faith and believing in spirituality and our higher power. And so it was taking a while to connect, and I was like, I'm going to be on the meeting. I know this is going to work. And when I have some kind of doubt, and it's not foolproof, of course, but what I've noticed with my faith is that when I wholeheartedly believe that my higher power can help me with something, that I don't have any doubts. And there are so many doubts that creep into my mind. I'll be like, and I can feel it. I'm so used to it now that I can feel when I have that like slightest little doubt. And as soon as I have that doubt, it doesn't work. So it's cool to know, like we say, like if we seek our higher power out, right? And I really believe that that's where the magic happens. Like I have to, my higher power is available for me 24/7, but I have to make that first step. I have to seek it out. I have to ask for that help. And then I have to believe that I'm deserving of the help. And I have to believe that the help is possible, that my higher power, at one point, I had to kind of reevaluate and restructure who my higher power was, because I realized that I was limiting my higher power, and my higher power has to be limitless. And I realized that I wasn't thinking that my higher power could give me absolutely everything. And my higher power is capable of that because it's not some limited human power like me. And I think I will stop there. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Lindy, please share with us. And then after that, we're going to invite more people to share on page 51, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Lynn.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. excuse me. Thank you for everyone for their service for this meeting. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I love examples. Like, I love stories. I love when people go deeper and share. And those are the usual things I think of when it gets so bad, or, you know, oh, I can't do it, or, oh, I don't see my higher power in this, or this is never going to work out. Like, when I start getting there, I have to go to people's experience, strength, and hope. And so for me, for my higher power, I just had to find it. I know that sounds really weird, but I just couldn't use anybody's. It had been there my whole life, and I just didn't know it. But I really, really had to go out and seek it and do a lot of soul searching for my higher power. And it took some work. It wasn't easy. The main thing that my higher power that I was getting wrong was that I thought it just only popped up. Like, I thought it was going to pop up when I needed it. And it doesn't. I have to go out and ask for help. I have to go out and be like, okay, higher power, you know, let's talk this out loud. Let's talk this through. Like, I have to seek it. It's there. It's always there. But I have to do my part in my action, and I have to connect on a daily basis. And now twice a day, yeah, we have to do it in the morning. Lynn has to do it in the morning and in the afternoon, apparently. Reaching out, you know, even if it's like, you know, I had to put a notification on my phone at 2 p.m., like every day just to do it. And for me, that's just another way. I think of it just as another way to connect and get some experience, strength, and hope from my higher power. So, anyways, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lindy. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in a few days, then and you'd like to comment on page 51, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you.
Rachel L.
I heard Nancy. I didn't get your first initial of your last name, and Roz G.
Jennifer G.
Jennifer G. Nancy, what was the first initial of your last name?
L.
L. Thank you, Nancy L. Anybody else?
Tony
N.
A.
Tony N. A. I've got
Ramona
Rachel
A.
L. Ravona. Ramona.
Ramona.
Okay, Ramona A. Okay, great. I've got Rachel C., Nancy L., Roz G., Jennifer G., Tony Ann A., Ramona A. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Well, we'll get started with Rachel C., and you'll be followed by Nancy L. Please share with us, Rachel.
Hi, it's Rachel L. from San Diego, California. This paragraph spoke to me like kind of in a different way. For me, I had a stroke at 25 that left me completely bedbound, and I was told I was never going to walk again. I had to find a higher, you know, power greater than myself to tell my, you know, to lean into to tell myself, you know, you are going to walk again. You are going to do this. You know, you can do this. And at first, I was very defeated. I was very, like, you know, forget it. Like, just lay in bed and just soak. And I had to tell myself, you know, no, you have somebody on your side. You know, you have this higher power. And now, I went from not being able to even stand up on my own. Now, I'm walking over 5,000 feet. I'm able to get on a standalone bike and do over 3 miles. You know, I'm not, you know, running miles or anything yet. The word is yet, but I am doing way better than I ever done before. And that is because I leaned into my higher power and I believed in myself. And I was told, you know, when you walk to your higher power, they run to you. And I just, you know, I didn't believe that at first, but now that everything in my life that, you know, I'm working the steps, I'm working the program, and I'm reaching out to people, and I'm doing what I need to do for my recovery, my life has completely changed. And I just, I can honestly say I'm recovered, and I just love it. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Rachel L. Nancy L., you're up next. followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Nancy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Nancy L. from Arizona. Not listening very well today. Wow, that's such a powerful paragraph. You know, I was kind of like the skeptic. It's like, well, that might work for them, but more likely it won't. They're just out there trying, but it's not really working for them. Well, it certainly wouldn't work for me to come to OA and to get recovered. But I'm very grateful today for the gift of desperation, because I had come to the point where I did not want to live anymore. My health was failing. I was over 100 pounds overweight, and no one liked me, and I didn't like anybody else. So I came, and this is the prayer I prayed. God, I believe, please help my unbelief, because that's what always used to bring me a failure at anything I try to do. I'd say, well, I tried it for 2 days and it didn't work, so it's not for me. So I'm just so grateful that I found where I was supposed to be all along. I spent, 25 years in different various diets, but I found home. I found OA. I found the 12 steps, and I'm so grateful to be living in a right-sized body today. My doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Jennifer G.
Thank you. I love your heart loves your weight. I just love that. So thank you for that. I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And being, a sponsor and talking to people about their higher powers has given me the opportunity to listen to the variety of higher powers that people have asked, have meditated on and asked God to come through with for them. And, of course, I am not speaking of the God of Scripture because, I'm not doing that. I'm just talking about a higher power to help us in the realm of the compulsive overeater. And I heard one guy talk about his higher power being like a mafia kind of gangster, but a good one. And this mafia gangster broke down doors for him and rescued him from the halls of alcoholism. And another friend of mine is Jamaican, and his higher power has a Jamaican accent, and he says, look at what me gives ya. And I love that. And right now I'm asking God for a mate, a companion, a guy to share with me, and I'm working a program on that. And my higher power is like a Jewish yenta or whatever, matchmaker, whatever they call those in Judaism. She's got a Jewish accent and she's a matchmaker. I get to be creative and use my imagination, and it's very helpful. It's very kind. It's tender. One of my sponsees used the word tender. And one guy called his higher power coach. And coaches, are just great. They inspire you. They clap their hands and they say, come on, let's get this show on the road or whatever it is. And coaches blow their whistle and tell you when to stop. And I love that. So there are a variety of attributes that I've heard over the years with higher power, and I love them all. And my mind changes for the needs that I have and for the phases of my life. And I'm a 61-year-old senior citizen, although I feel like a teenager. And in some cases, I am a teenager because I never had an intimate relationship. Even with my 17-year marriage, I had no clue. All I wanted was what I wanted, when I wanted it, and I had a part in it as well. So it's a beautiful thing talking about higher power and what we need it to be
gentle
for
reminder.
Us. Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Jennifer G., you're up next, followed by Tony N. A.
Hi, my name is Jennifer G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. So I was the yes, but person. Yes, but everything was a but. I wasn't open prior to coming to OA. Visions, and OA and Visions, I came at the same time. I'd never been in OA before. I was resistant to everything, and I had a lot of old ideas that were my truth, just years and years piled on. And I started working the steps with a sponsor, and those old ideas were peeled away, and I became a different person, and I was resistant with every step. My first sponsor, she would give me the instruction or read these pages, and my initial reaction was always the same. No, yes, but, and I had already said I was willing to go to any lengths. So that was that making that commitment was really important to start out with, because I was willing to go to any lengths. It's just that I get in the way of myself, self-sabotaging behavior, do anything but then I didn't do that with OA. I threw myself into this program because I, like was mentioned before, I was dying. I had planned my funeral, got my plot, did my trust. I was morbidly obese. The doctors were given me all kinds of warnings that I wasn't paying attention to, and I was in complete despair. And my prayer was, God, please help me. And that was after my twin sister died. And within a few months, someone from OA reached out to me and said, I can help you. And I can't wait to say that those words to other people when the opportunity arises, so they can come here. And let's see, what else do I want to say? Now when my sponsor gives me direction, I don't say yes, but I'm quiet. I know that God is going to show up. Whatever it is she gives me to do, I know I'm going to see God in it. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be better for my relationships with my family and friends. I'm finally showing up for my people. I can listen. I don't have to talk incessantly. And I do know that I still have a will that it battles God's. And so, you know, I still have that resistance. But every day I work really hard to find God's will. And I love carrying the message, and I love growing spiritually. And I feel like thank you. I've been transformed from selfish and self-centered to thinking of what I can do for others. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer G. Appreciate it. Okay, Tony N. A., you're up next, followed by Ramona A. Please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tony N. A. I'm from New Jersey. So happy to be here this morning. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for taking the meeting, moderator. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Oh, this is one of my favorite parts in the big book, because I really do feel like people would be able to look at me and see the difference in my body, because obviously I came in this program and I needed to lose weight. Everybody has different goals, but mine was to lose weight, and it became obvious that there had been a transformation in my body of lost weight. What's not obvious, but more important than the weight loss that I've had, is the transformation in my mind. And I do believe that is a result of the 12 steps. Like, that is the promise of having had the 12 steps come true in my life. I came in here, I would have sworn to you that I was not a prejudiced person, but I had the definition of prejudice wrong in my mind. I thought it just meant towards different cultures, and to that I was open. But what I wasn't really open to in my mind was different or new ideas. And as I worked the steps in step two, you know, I read this chapter, and I realized that the writers had written out like different theories. And one of the most important theories that comes from this page is that a willingness to change my belief system will lead to different results. And it's something that I work with my sponsees. on a willingness to change my belief system will lead to different results. And it's truly the essence of what step two is when we come to believe. What is it that I came to believe? I come to believe that if I take a different belief, you know, if I take different ideas and look at things differently, it'll lead to different results. And one of the most important things for me is to pause, pray, and proceed, because it's in the pause and it's in the taking that time to pray and to meditate that those different ideas will eventually manifest. And it comes from someplace deep inside me. It's not even, I can't even say, maybe it's in my own voice, but they're definitely not my ideas. And it started out very simply, the idea that I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat that which is not good for me. And from that very simple principle, other things in my life began to emerge. I don't want to have that behavior that's not good for me. I don't want to be down with those people that are not good for me. I don't want to spend money on things that are not good for me. And it became like a totally new set of ideas. And like part of working a spiritual program is constantly seeking out those new ideas and being open. It's a letting go of self and allowing for that space for a higher power, my creator, God, whatever it is that you want to call it, allowing that space to come in. And it's so important. It starts every day for me with
thank
just
so
taking
much.
That pause. Thank you, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony and A. Ramona A is up next, and after that, we're going to take another lineup of people who would like to comment on page 51, paragraph 2. It begins with, we asked ourselves, and ends with, airplane travel was in full swing. Please share with us, Ramona A. Ramona?
Oh, hi. Hi. Ramona A. in Vermont, and I'll assume you can hear me now. I have my phone muted.
But, you sound great.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for everyone who gives service and makes this meeting possible, and for all the shares that I'm hearing, all the different ideas, all the different people's experiences. So part of me was here and trying to figure out what was I going to say, because I wasn't sure. I just knew that I hadn't shared in a long time and that it would be healthy for me to share and to affirm that, yeah, maybe there was something I could say that would touch somebody, you know, in a positive way. So I know that this is meaningful to me, this paragraph, and all that we're reading now, and the idea that I believed in God. I had a faith tradition, and the problem was that I didn't believe that God would help me. I didn't believe that God would help me until I had lost the weight myself. I was the one who needed to be in charge. I needed to be good. You know, I needed to be, before God could love me and help me, because somehow I got the idea, you know, from everyone around, I suppose, and from every, you know, the whole culture, that being fat was bad. I was a bad person. Not that it was an unhealthy way of being, just, and I didn't know I had an illness. So I was a very, I was a very hangry person. I didn't trust God. I didn't trust anyone, really. And I went from one diet to another, from one, you know, anyone who could give me an idea of something that would work, or being obstinate, like, who cares? You know, who cares? But I cared. I really did care, because I did not want to be the way I was. So when I found OA, I found that I had a disease. I found that it was really not my fault. You know, there was a lot of healing that had to be done. And still, it took me a long time to bring God into it, too. To say, I guess if I was going to do this step three, I guess I better put my little toe into the water. You know, and I did. I just put a little bit in with one, I'll trust you to do, I don't know what, finding a good parking spot, anything that was very simple, you know, not jump off a cliff or something like that. And gee, you know, whatever, God was willing to play the game with me. And
just a reminder.
That worked. Okay, thank you. So that went from little to big to bigger to, you know, now I trust God with, try to trust God with my whole life. You know, sometimes I forget, but I do, and my life has changed so incredibly. You know, not only am I at a good, healthy weight, I am a good, healthy emotional balance too, and that is amazing. It's fantastic. And, you know, I can live life, you know, that know how to do things that formerly, you know, would have driven me crazy because, not me, but because of this higher power that is there and I can trust. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ramona A. Though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we have time for three, possibly four shares. Please let me know if you'd like to comment.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa C.
Lisa C. Anyone else? We got room for one or two more? I think two more. Okay, we'll go with Joan Marie M., followed by Lisa C. Please share with us, Joan Marie.
Yes, this is Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God and trying to let my dogs out so they won't be barking the whole time. Yes, this, I'm going with a different aspect in this or a different way to look at it. It's like to the newcomer that has lost all sense of hope and seems impossible and hopeless, just like they must have felt, you know, the Wright brothers, all around them was negativity and, you know, no one cheering them on more or less. So I want to be a cheerleader today and say, you know what, if I, a helpless, hopeless, chronic relapser, couldn't get this program after being so many years in it, which does not have to be for those that are new. You know, just listen and believe and trust the process, because the process is the 12 steps that this book is our instruction book. And it says so many thousands, maybe millions, have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So if I can do it, you can do it too. Just believe and keep on going forward, and do get a sponsor to help work these steps if you don't have one. Investigate in one. Find a good fit for you that will work for your personality. And so with that, I'm going to pass, but blessings to all that shared already. I mean, they get so much more out of the paragraphs than I do. That's why I need to listen. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. Lisa C. is up next, and we'll have time for a few more shares.
Hi, if you're not, may I be heard?
Hi, Lisa. Yes, we hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And I haven't shared in a very long time. I used to listen to Vision 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting every single day. It fit with my schedule. And I've had a lot of major changes over the last 4 months. And I'm really grateful to be here. I love the energy on this meeting. I'm so grateful. And the lead chair mentioned something about, you know, her Evie. And I've heard fellows say this over the time I've been in the program. And I've always thought to myself, gosh, I don't really have an Evie. And you know what? As I was listening, I realize that I do, and it was a little gift for me to realize that this morning, because my Ebby was my mom. My mom passed away a few months ago, and it's been a season of heartbreak for me, a season of, you know, the necessity for healing and for really, really reaching out to God, and also for having some trouble with my higher power, if I'm being honest, but also holding on to my recovery for dear life. And I just appreciated that in this paragraph, you know, it asks me basically, like, if I'm willing to be biased and unreasonable about so many things in this world, how can I continue to, how can I continue to be unbiased and unreasonable about so many things? If I'm going to be biased and unreasonable about so many things, either I'm biased and unreasonable about everything or nothing. Sorry, took a second to get that out. But my point is simply that, you know, if I want to open my heart, really open it all the way, if I really want to let go, then I've got to kind of let go of all of it, including the doubt and the fear. Because also when I believe in a higher power, so many other questions are answered. I don't have to ask myself why I'm here anymore. I don't have to wonder about my impact on the world and if it's positive or not. I can just stay close to God and see what he or she or it has in store for me every day, and know deeply, a deep internal knowing that I'm safe, protected, I have meaning, my life has meaning, and that everyone's lives have meaning. And for that, I'm just so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susie. We have time for, I think, two more shares on page 5140, paragraph 2. Who'd like to comment?
Sandra Maria B.
Sandra Maria. And one more. Well, please go ahead, Sandra.
Susan, yeah.
Susan?
Yes.
And first initial of your last name, Susan?
T.
Susan T. Okay, Sandra Maria B. Thank you, followed by Susan T. Please share with us, Sandra Maria.
Thank you. Hi, ladies and men. I'm Sandra Maria B. from Sweden. Really, really grateful to be here and in recovery. I just feel so much awe when I listen to you. So much beautiful insights and godliness in this room, and in this chapter and this phrase. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here for sure. It was really God who directed me to the rooms even before I knew him. And even if it took many years before I got the relationship that I have today, it's worth everything. And I can't understand how I was able to live without God, without like the knowledge of God before. But I was not living. I was trying to survive. And anytime I leave God out, that's where I am. Like, instead of thriving, I'm surviving. And that's not where I want to be or where I need to be. And I need to be here because here I am reminded where my focus should be. And God is the most important in my life today. And with that, abstinence comes. And without abstinence, I can't be close to God. So I need both. And I need you. And that's just what I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sandra Maria B. Susan T., please share with us. I want to unmute, Susan. Susan T.
Is that better? Yeah, am I better?
Ah, there you are. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm Sue, recovered from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. It's very interesting. When I've been in recovery now, it's going to be 38 years in December. I remember I came to my second step, and of course I grew up Catholic, so I had a phase, and it was okay, you know. But there actually was one thing, and I'm not sure if it was a twist of the illness, or something I heard growing up is that I was always afraid that God was going to have this book and he's going to keep records of all the bad things I did, and that when I died, I'm going to have to hear it. And I might not go to heaven because of it. So it's so interesting that when I came to my second step, I had to write my sponsor suggested a prayer log. And I started seeing God working in my life and a feeling inside, it's okay, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. And then when I started recovering, I heard my friend say at a meeting, she said, God is as real as my right and my left arm. And I was like, oh my God, I want that, you know. And I started seeing that God was not this overbearing, you know, punisher, and that I did something wrong. I just get this feeling of just let it go and do better. You know, it wasn't what I came up with. So that was really powerful to keep a prayer log and to start seeing God work in my life, that it wasn't the God that I thought. I had some quirky thing about it. I knew he did good, but I just thought he was going to be very, very harsh with me. And I don't feel that. I haven't felt that way in 38 years, in all the years I've been in recovery. So it really is quite the blessing. And he's just giving me so much grace and so many miracles. It's just way beyond my wildest dreams, as they say. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We have time for a two-minute share. Anybody like to take it? Star one to unmute.
Demetra,
go for it. Where are you calling from?
Hi there. New York.
Hello.
Thanks, Demetra.
Hi.
I'm sorry. We only have time for Demetra, but please go ahead, Demetra.
Thank you. I decided to be brave. I've been listening in, and I got a new interim sponsor who referred me to this call. So I have to pay T-Mobile to be on the call, but I was like, it's worth it. And hearing about, you know, the Wright brothers and having to experiment with God and hearing the beautiful shares, like since I've been praying every day, like part of my OA practice is every morning I text my new sponsor that what my day count is. And I say I'm praying for an abstinent day and wishing you one as well. And then I do it at night. And it's working, and I feel that that's God working in my life, like praying for abstinence daily, being grateful for abstinence. And my old sponsor used to say when she was done eating, she would play taps, like the military, and that's it for food. Once you play taps, it's done. So I don't know. I feel like God has been very good to me. I was at a birthday party at an Italian restaurant, and I maintained perfect abstinence, no dessert, nothing on my red. And I'm just grateful to hear the message and the big book, you know, and that you guys are, you know, providing a beautiful service on this call. And I'm just filled with gratitude today, and I'll leave it there.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Okay, I will now ask Alex K. to please read 164, page 164 for us.
Thank you, Elaine. This book.
Actually, I'm sorry. Let me just do this a little bit more officially. I'm so sorry. We'll now close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. We'll ask Kate, please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Thank you so much, Alex K.
Thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you have in God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.